This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We'll touch on a couple of these immigration things. We are going to discuss the leaks from the Pentagon about just how damaged were the nuclear sites. We'll do a bunch of emails, all that, and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, just a couple final things on this. I mentioned that the two main reasons why we have animal after animal after animal assuming political office in this country are American students are taught that America sucks in the university system and the mass importation of foreigners that has watered down and destroyed significant portions of our culture. So now, in certain places, it's like we don't have a culture. And here's the thing about what I said. You know, I said those are the two things. The communists know those are their two things. Why do you think it is every now and then you'll get some dirty commie suggesting free college for everybody? Everyone should get to go for free. Why do you think they want that? Why do you think the communists in this country trash trade schools, trash blue collar work? No, you got to go to college. Why do you think it is? Why do you think it is that every single Democrat-run state in this country hates homeschooling or private schools? No! Everybody has to go to the public schools where we can get our hands on you. And why do you think it is every communist in this country speaks like this about foreigners?
I remember the first day I read about the deportations to El Salvador of the alleged Trendera Agua members for whom no evidence was ever presented that they had anything to do with Trendera Agua. And I remember saying to Mike, like, I wish I didn't feel so gutted and I wish I could stop thinking about these guys being scared in El Salvador. And then I was in Westchester. It's usually a baseball
headline. Democrat Rep Dave requests $1.6 million in taxpayer funds for a left-wing group that teaches illegal aliens how to dodge ICE. Democrat members of Congress are so committed to these foreigners, they're bringing in as much of your money as possible to hand it out to them and teaching them how to stay here. Headline, New Mexico Democrat judge resigns after ICE arrests alleged Trendera Agua member in his home. You do remember this story, right? A judge who allowed an illegal alien Trendera Agua member to live with him, and there are pictures with the gang member and the judge's wife. The communists understand what I said the first hour. They understand it is 100% true. They understand their true power, their lasting power that will eventually lead to their complete takeover of this country if they are not stopped. Their true power is their ability to educate your children. Oftentimes you pay them to do so in college. And their ability to replace patriotic Americans with foreigners who can be bribed easily. That is what is happening. And that is more important than anything else. You woke up this morning and you found out that some psycho communist is probably going to be the next mayor of New York. And you wanted to know how, and you wanted to know why, and you wanted this stuff stopped. This is why this stuff happens. This is exactly why this stuff happens. And if you took that away, if you could fix the universities or eliminate the universities, if you could stop the mass importation of foreigners, the Democrat Party would disappear. It would disappear overnight, at least this modern version of it. You'd probably get a better version that would rise, that would be more representative of blue-collar people and stuff like that, like it used to be. But whatever this disgusting commie version is, would disappear like that. That's a fact. Let's do some emails. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, so I went over last night in detail about my technique for killing a cheetah hand-to-hand. And there was some pushback. I got things like this. Jesse, beware of the cheetah's hind legs. They pull those rear legs up by their face and have significant force when they extend them. The claws are extremely sharp and will eviscerate you, puncture a lung or heart. They're not going to puncture my heart. Those claws aren't that long. Or a femoral artery. Now that I could see could happen. Additionally, they can flex and extend their hind legs in rapid succession. They can also spin their bodies rapidly to get better footing and leverage. I think you need to get it on the ground on its back with all your weight on it to minimize its use of legs. Grip the neck high, squeeze as hard as you can. You know what? I actually don't hate that. I've thought a lot about applying the rear naked choke. Here's my concern with the rear naked choke. It's going to be more difficult to get the rear naked choke clinched in than it is to just wrap my hands around the throat of the cheetah. And in an attempt to get the rear naked choke in, I really run the risk of this. And this is why I've rejected this method. I'm not saying I would never do it whenever I get in my cheetah fight. But this is why I've rejected this method mainly. In my attempt to cinch in the rear naked choke, my forearm is going to be where? Right underneath its mouth. What if it wraps its mouth around my forearm and bites down hard, which of course it would because my arm is going to be right there. What that has the potential to do is tear enough tendons in my forearm, tear enough valuable stuff in my forearm that my arm, my hand, becomes useless. And if I become one-handed, I'm going to lose. That's what I can't afford. I can't afford to lose the power, the incredible power in my hands. That's my only point. What, Chris? Jesse, I love you, brother, but a 140-pound cat against an unarmed man will result in a dead man. The cheetah is 3 times faster than a human man and solid muscle. It will instinctively protect its neck. If you did manage to wrap your hands around its neck, he could easily break free. You've never seen my hands. Okay, you've never seen. Anyway, he would kick your guts out. Okay, now that, I will say the best argument I've seen is the hind legs maybe tearing at an artery on my legs or tearing apart my guts as I was choking it. That is a concern. That is a concern. But remember, it's 140 pounds. The cheetah weighs more than my wife. It's 140 pounds. Look, they have weight classes in boxing and in MMA and things like that for a reason. And it's not to protect the bigger fighter. Just simple mass. I'm not even saying that I'm solid muscle like the cheetah, although I kind of am. I'm just saying, just weight alone. Let's lay on it. I can do it. Jesse, remind everyone to eat at McDonald's tonight because the lefty commies are boycotting McDonald's to back their DEI policies. All right, if you insist. Hey, Jesse, I heard a guy who thinks we should apologize to Japan. Can you talk about the rape of Nanking in Unit 731? I guess I could do a little of that. Yeah, good point. Jewish producer Chris, before we get into Japan and that kind of stuff, and actually I do want to address the NATO comments that were kind of weird, and I probably should address the Pentagon leaks, before I completely derail the show and talk about Japan and Unit 731 and all this stuff. Before I get into that, I should probably address a couple more newsworthy items like NATO and the Pentagon. But Jewish producer Chris is backing me up on this, I'm shocked to say. But he's like, yeah, it's 140 pounds. I'm telling you, we could do this. I'm telling you, this is something that I could do, not we. You probably can't. But now that I've thought about it for long enough, and now that I have my technique down, we can do this. Anyway, did you hear what the NATO chair said to Trump?
For too long, one ally, the United States, carried too much of the burden of that commitment. And that changes today. President Trump, dear Donald, you made this change possible. Your leadership on this has already produced $1 trillion in extra spending from European allies since 2016. And the decisions today will produce trillions more for our common defense to make us stronger and fairer by equalizing spending between America and America's allies.
He also called him daddy, and Trump was asked about it.
Mark Rutte, the NATO chief, who is your friend, he called you daddy earlier. Do you regard your NATO allies as kind of children?
No, he likes me. I think he likes me. If he doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll come back and I'll hit him hard.
Daddy? Anyway, let's talk about the leaks at the Pentagon, because I'm so unbelievably uncomfortable right now. Maybe that means something different in European. I really can't say. But you know what is universal? Pain. Europeans feel the same amount of pain we do. Well, they probably feel it more because they're weaker. But you understand what I mean. Pain is universal. And relief factor is universal. If you are a human being, relief factor, it can take your pain away. It goes to the root of where your pain is coming from. That's what makes it great. We've been talking a lot about that tonight, about going to the root of the problems. Relief factor attacks the inflammation, but it is drug-free. 100% drug-free. It is a supplement. You take it every single day. And what will happen is every day, that pain that you experience, the daily pain that holds you back in your hands and everywhere, back, wherever it is, it just gets turned down a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more every day because it builds up in your system. You eventually end up pain-free. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can listen to the show. You can download it if you missed a single second of this brilliant programming. You can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All this stuff is free. If it's all free, the show is free. Let's talk about our government. Let's talk about a conversation I had with a senator today as it pertains to the federal government, the deep state, if you will, the swamp, whatever word you want to put on it, the blob. There's a lot of different words for it because leaks in the government are on people's minds. And before I get to the Hegseth stuff, the Pentagon leaks, I was asking this senator, I said, hey, we just found out the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they found out that China was getting involved in our 2020 election, and they covered it up because they wanted Joe Biden to win. And I said, look, I want this organization completely disbanded. But if we can't do that, I at least want some people in the FBI to go to prison. I mean, that kind of action should result in the end of the organization, period. But no matter what, people have to go to federal prison for a long time for doing that with your position at the FBI. And you know what he said to me? He said, Jesse, let's talk about Pam Bondi for a sec. I said, okay. He said, Pam Bondi had to fire a bunch of people at the DOJ when she first got there because they were clearly communist activists. Okay, good. He said, Jesse, she can't find replacements. She can't find qualified, non-communist replacements who will be willing to take a position at the DOJ to do that type of thing. Because A, there aren't very many of them because law schools produce communists. And B, the lawfare that has taken place against people who have served the Republican Party has been so pervasive by the communists in our legal system, dragging people into the courts, suing them. Remember, the process can be the punishment. You don't have to be convicted of a crime or something like that or lose your lawsuit to have legal action be devastating. How much money do you have right now in the bank? One guy the senator was telling me about, Democrat lawfare against him has cost him personally $1 million in legal fees. If he never goes to prison, if he never loses his lawsuit, he's still out $1 million. Communists in this country are so aggressive and evil that people are afraid to take DOJ positions that will put FBI agents in prison. That's how deep the deep state is. Now, let's talk about this.
That it was produced by the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the Pentagon's intelligence arm. And it is worth noting that it is a very early assessment. The strikes were only a matter of days ago, and the intelligence community is still gathering intelligence. They are still working to come up with a full, comprehensive picture of what exactly happened here. But based on a battle damage assessment that was carried out by U.S. Central Command, essentially looking at the images and looking at what was actually damaged, the Defense Intelligence Agency has assessed that the core components of Iran's nuclear program are largely intact, and that Iran's nuclear program has essentially only been set back by months.
Pete Hegseth addressed that.
There's a reason the president calls out fake news for what it is. These pilots, these refuelers, these fighters, these air defenders, the skill and the courage it took to go into enemy territory flying 36 hours on behalf of the American people and the world to take out a nuclear program is beyond what anyone in this audience can fathom. And then the instinct of CNN, the instinct of the New York Times is to try to find a way to spin it for their own political reasons to try to hurt President Trump or our country. They don't care what the troops think. They don't care what the world thinks. They want to spin it to try to make him look bad based on a leak. Of course, we've all seen plenty of leakers. And what do leakers do? They have agendas. And what do? Do they share the whole information or just the part that they want to introduce? And when they introduce that preliminary report that's deemed to be a low assessment, you know what a low assessment means? Low confidence in the data in that report. And why is there low confidence? Because all of the evidence of what was just bombed by 12, 30,000 pound bombs is buried under a mountain, devastated and obliterated. So if you want to make an assessment of what happened at Fordow, you better get a big shovel and go really deep, because Iran's nuclear program is obliterated. And
he said this.
Is there a leak investigation?
Of course. We're doing a leak investigation with the FBI right now, because this information is for internal purposes, battle damage assessments, and CNN and others are trying to spin it to make the president look bad when this was an overwhelming success.
A leak investigation. A leak investigation that is necessary because our federal government is full of communist subversives who will kneecap any effort made to save this country. This is what we are up against. A vast network of communist activists in positions of power who will use their positions of power to protect the communist revolution and to hurt the right. This is our challenge. And this is why I'm moving on, and I'm doing emails, and I'm finally going to answer the guy's question about Japan and Unit 731 and things like that. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that. Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't
shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, whatever you would like, love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. I figured that's enough heavy news for at least a little bit on the show, so let's do some heavy history. All right. Jesse, I heard a guy who thinks we should apologize to Japan. Can you talk about the rape of Nanking and Unit 731? All right, so those are two separate things, but I feel like talking about it, so we'll go ahead and talk about it. Let's do Unit 731 first. Here's the most basic history I can give you. World War II, a lot of people think World War II began in Europe. It's hard to say when things begin, right? Different people have different ideas about it. A lot of people think World War II began at the beginning of World War I, right? They say it was the same war. But Japan was inside China, conquering portions of China, a long time before Hitler's tanks rolled across the borders of Europe, okay? Japan was this rising imperial power. They didn't have enough resources for their people. They hated the Chinese. The Chinese hated them. There's all kinds of historical hatred there. And Japan's looking across that little stretch of water and saying, well, why don't we just go take some of it? And they started to do that. All right. So inside of China, there was something called Unit 731. And one of the most interesting parts of Unit 731 was how it ended, to be honest with you. But we'll get to that in a minute. Unit 731 was this. It was an experimentation center for the Japanese military and intelligence community to figure out weapons, equipment, things that worked, things that didn't work. Now, that is the most benign explanation of what happened at Unit 731 I can give you, but that's how the Japanese government saw it. What are we doing here? Well, we're doing biological weapons testing. And we're figuring out the human body, organs, how they work, amputations, medical care. That was how the Japanese government looked at it. But here's the thing about not just racial superiority. I was about to call it racial superiority because that was a big thing for Japan back then. They did believe they were a superior people to all others, and they thought they were far superior to the Chinese, who they regarded as rats or dogs. That's just how they thought about them. But it really applies to any kind of superiority. And throughout human history, the worst atrocities take place when there is this way of thinking that this entire group of people, they are less than us. They are less than we are. And every single race has participated in this. Every single religion has participated in this region. So this is not unique to Japan, but that was the way of thinking in Japan. So if you're in Japan, if you're a Japanese, if you're part of the Japanese government, and you want to learn about biological weapons are something that have always fascinated people. Can we use disease as a weapon? Can we use it on them? Can we use it on them and make sure it doesn't blow back on us? What can we do with this stuff? So you feel like you're racially superior? So they started kidnapping Chinese people. This is one of the parts of it that is just amazing. They would just go grab men, women, children, babies. They would grab them and drag them to this place. It was a former fortress. This place known as Unit 731. It was incredibly secretive. If you were on a train that went by it, the shades would all be, it was required, the shades would all be drawn, blackout shades. You're not going to be able to look out at it. That's how secretive this place was. And what they would do there is just some of the most medieval, horrible stuff you can imagine. And they did it for research purposes. I've told you this before. For instance, frostbite. They wanted to know how that works. Can you rehab after frostbite? Basic things that you would think would help troops. Yeah, that sounds good, except they would dump ice all over or dump water all over somebody in the freezing cold, then let their arm freeze into a solid block of ice and then break it, or then let it thaw, cut it off. That, honestly, the stuff that they did there, a lot of it I can't go into because there are children listening. But amputations, organ removal without anesthesia. Imagine you're a Chinese peasant one day working the rice fields. The Japanese military shows up, throws you in the back of a truck, drives you over to Unit 731, where they strap you down to a table and proceed to start cutting out your liver without any pain medication. Yeah. The Japanese wanted to use the plague on the Chinese. This was a thing that they did and tried to do. And so they tried to gnats and injecting people with diseases and then sitting back and studying them through a window, how they die, how long did it take them to die? The things they would do to women, I'm not going to go into again because there are children listening, but you can use your imagination. And if the women got pregnant, the babies too. It is one of the darker chapters in World War II. And I say that with full knowledge that World War II had a lot of very, very dark chapters. I don't know that I would allow children under the age of 14, 15 to read a book on Unit 731. That's how dark it is. And I mentioned the ending of it about how it might be the worst part of it. You want to hear something terrible? The researchers, lots of them got off scot-free. Scot-free may be putting it strongly, but the Soviet Union, they were very interested in this research for obvious reasons. Hey, did you guys figure something else? Figure out something with all this biological weapon stuff? So the Soviets, oh yeah, they put the researchers through trials and things like that, but they'd send them to prison for 2 years and then bring them into the fold wanting to acquire that knowledge. And before you start screaming at the radio, it figures those dirty commies. We did the same thing. The United States of America, concerned about the Soviet Union, concerned about Soviet Union weapons programs, biological weapons programs, the United States of America grabbed these same researchers and brought them into the fold because we wanted access to the knowledge the Soviets now had because of these researchers. It's an ugly story, a gory story. It's not one of my favorites. I'm fine with battle stories and war stories and stuff like that, but Ob is the member of the family that she'll sit down and watch shows on surgery. Right? Hey, Jesse, you have to come look. They're cutting a tumor out of this guy's stomach. No, I'm good. Thanks. Not interested at all. But it's a lot of that kind of stuff, only as dark as you can possibly imagine. And what I just gave you was the PG version of it. Again, because children are listening, and I don't need to give everybody a bunch of freaking nightmares. And I certainly don't want parents angry at me for telling some dark things about it. But it's a dark, dark period of time. And if that stuff, if you're into it, like I said, I did not enjoy reading about it. But maybe you will. Go pick up a book on it. Now, let's stay on this because I don't want to go back and talk about politics yet. What did happen in Nanking or Nanjing? Before we do that, let's talk about your dog. How's your dog's breath? How's your dog's energy? Do you have this lethargic dog that just, you can't get him to wake up? Or do you have a hyperactive dog? You can't get him to tone it down? You know how many of these issues we have with our dogs come from lack of nutrition? They just don't get nutrition. They don't get vitamins and minerals like they need. They don't get the things they need. And so their coat gets dull and their breath gets bad and they can't wake them up in the morning. And they die too early. Our dogs die too early. Stop that. Start giving your dog real nutrition now. No matter if it's a puppy or the old dog, sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food and keep that dog alive longer. And yes, there's Meow Greens for cats as well. You don't have to change the food. Sprinkle it on there. Free Jumpstart Trio Bags, 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, your humble cheetah choker, Jesse Kelly, hosting this thing as I always do. Remember, you can download the show iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You can also email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So one more thing on this little bit of history, and then we're going to get back to some politics and other things. The rape of Nanking, or the Nanking Massacre, or Nanjing Massacre, but it goes by a bunch of different names. What happened? I'm going to explain what happened, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, the way I explain some of this might sound like a defense of what the Japanese did. You shouldn't take it as a defense. You should take it as an explanation. I already explained about the racial superiority aspect of the Japanese in World War II. They felt that they were a superior people and far superior to the backwards, stupid, low-down Chinese. That was just how they thought. The Japanese eventually go into Shanghai. They are going to go fight the Chinese in Shanghai. It's called, known as the Battle of Shanghai. It's got a couple different names, but you go look it up. It's a fascinating thing. And it was a very, very, very rough affair. Chinese were fighting the Japanese. We're talking in the streets, urban combat, hand-to-hand combat. There's a river. People were dying in the river, being massacred in the river. Americans died during this whole affair. It's fascinating. It's really a fascinating thing most people don't know about. Maybe I should do a history on it sometime. But the Battle of Shanghai is what it was. The fighting was fierce, as I mentioned, but the Japanese eventually win. They win, and the Chinese army is in full retreat. I mentioned the fierceness of the fighting for this reason. When you read about military atrocities throughout history, and this could apply, remember our Alexander the Great history we did? This applies to ancient history when it comes to sieges. Long, violent, miserable, bloody military campaigns oftentimes can result in military atrocities because you as a soldier, I know maybe if you've never been one, maybe you're a good person, don't think you could ever be this, but I'm telling you right now, when you go through enough misery, enough death, enough blood, when it's gone on for long enough, not only are you changed, but your blood gets up. It's known as getting your blood up. Your vengeance meter starts peaking, and you will do things in that moment that in a normal, isolated situation, you would never even consider doing. Why are sieges, ancient sieges, why do they so often result in massive murder and rape and looting and burning and this is the norm of a siege, because after you're done finally breaking through the walls, getting hot oil poured on you, watching your friends die, it's gone on for 6 months, the food has sucked, life is miserable, everything's horrible, and you finally get a chance to get your hands on the people who did that to you. Human beings can turn into savages in that moment. It is a human nature thing. That it's one of the terrible things about us, but it is real. I have, on a much, much, much lower level, nothing like this, experienced it myself in my own life. It happens. Your blood gets up, and someone's going to get hurt when that kind of thing happens. You combine that. Okay, so the Japanese win in the Battle of Shanghai. Combine the fact that they just went through this hard-fought, street-to-street, hand-to-hand fighting affair. Combine the fact that their blood is up with the fact that they already think the Chinese are lesser, lower animals, rats, dogs, whatever word you want to put on it. You have a recipe right there for a massacre. That's just the bottom line. Now, it's a long road from Shanghai to Nanking. The Chinese army that is escaping Shanghai, remember, they're routing, they're in full retreat. They are oftentimes running, oftentimes throwing down their weapons. Oftentimes, they're putting on civilian clothing, dropping their uniforms. Hey, I don't know anything about the Chinese army. That's an aspect of this as well. The Japanese army gets in hot pursuit, and they start massacring every Chinese person they can get their hands on. They are, remember, this is China. It's very tempting to think about China as just the big cities like Shanghai and Beijing and these places. But the vast majority of China is rural. It's a very rural place. Tiny little villages all over the place. At least it was back then. Not as much now, but at least it was back then. And the Japanese army would wipe out entire villages. And I'm not going to once again go into the things that happened to the women before they were killed, the children before they were killed. To this day, you can go see mass graves as they would kill everybody, dig a big hole, put the bodies in there, put a big dirt mound on it. They are having competitions that are being reported on in Japanese newspapers back home, competitions to see who can cut off the most heads with their samurai sword. This is not an isolated one or two time incident. They are killing and torturing and doing horrible things to every Chinese person they can get their hands on as they pursue the retreating Chinese army back towards Nanking. Now, in Nanking, they are aware the Japanese army is coming, and their government basically leaves. And they pretty much put in charge of Nanking, the maintenance of Nanking, the governance of Nanking, a Nazi. John Robbie is his name. Robbie, I've heard it a bunch of ways. R-A-B-E, John Robbie. He's a Nazi. Now remember, Japan and Germany, they're allies at this time. But Robbie's kind of running the show for the Chinese in Nanking. What happens next, we'll touch on briefly, then we'll get back to politics. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.